Well, we always appreciate it when Deacon Sullivan gives us a real good rousing prayer to start us off. So go ahead.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather and praise your name and worship you. And thank you for the warm weather that you brought us, Lord, as it invigorates us and gets us ready for the spring work and the summer enjoyment. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we give thanks to the Lord, right? We give thanks to thee, O Lord.
We give thanks.
We give thanks to thee, O Lord. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works men declare. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works men declare. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. Oh, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And of course, let's sing it personally to the Lord. And I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you will I trust. And I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you will I trust. My God, in you will I trust. My God, in you will I trust. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise. Give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise. Give him praise. Give glory and honor and power to his name. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the name above all names. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God you are great and greatly to be praised. Our God you are great and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Yes, He does. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before Him and burns up all His enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. Yes, He does. The Lord reigns forevermore. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare His righteousness. The people see His glory. For You, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. Our God, You reign. Our God, You reign. Our God, You reign. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Yes, He does. And what a great song to sing today on this day recognized as Earth Day. Of course, this Earth Day celebration, if you want to call it that, is about 40 years old. About 40 years ago it was started. And, of course, there are people that are worshiping the created, worshiping the Earth, instead of worshiping the Creator. If we were to look at some different scriptures concerning that, Psalm 24:1, 1 Corinthians 10:26, Psalm 50, 10 through 12, and of course Psalm 24:1 basically says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, but I particularly like Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12, because it says that every beast of the forest and all the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Now, the idea of cattle on 1,000 hills, you know, this cattle raised all over the world. You think about some of the cattle that's being raised in America, and the Lord owns it all. And so the idea of, say, we own our bodies, we own our land, we own all those things, is really contrary to what Scripture is saying, that we are the stewards of those things that the Lord has provided for us. And before I get to the main text of my Scripture today, I want to remind us of a few things historically. Particularly this week was the time to file your taxes. And John Marshall, our first Supreme Court Justice, who was also a hero of the Revolutionary War, in 1819 he said this, "An unlimited power to tax involves necessarily a power to destroy, because there is a limit beyond which no institution and no property can bear taxation." I guess we'd like to have that resonate in Washington, you know, the mountain of debt that they're accumulating, and of course the idea of different governmental authorities at different levels just putting more taxes out there, as if to say the people can always pay more taxes. Then these Greek words, actually Latin words, semper vigilum fortis paratus et fidelis, pro Deo et libertat, 1776, means always vigilant, strong, prepared, and faithful. And certainly that is a message for us today on this Earth Day, Sunday, first day of the week, last Sunday of the month of April, 2018. And pro Deo et libertat, for God and liberty. Semper vigilans, fortis paratus et fidelis, always vigilant, strong, prepared, and faithful. Pro Deo libertat, for God and country. Pro Deo et constitution, libertate omnes, for God and constitution, liberty or death. Fidelis Deo patriac, faithful to God and country. Can you remember all that? I hope everyone can remember those Latin terms. I like them very much. And of course, any Marine recognizes the Semper Fi. You know, the always vigilant and always faithful. And that's very important. Here's an interesting definition as you try to figure out why people do what they do. Narcissism. Say that with me, narcissism. Not the easiest thing to say. Is the pursuit of gratification from vanity or egotistic admiration of one's own attributes. And of course, does that go against Scripture? Yes, because we're told to humble ourselves at God's throne of grace, not to be narcissists. And then egocentrism, which, quite honestly, there are a lot of people that I've met are like this. It's the inability to differentiate between self and other. More specifically, it is the inability to untangle subjective schemas from objective reality, an inability to understand or assume any perspective other than their own. And we see a lot of that going on in education, in church, in government. That last part, I'll read it again. An inability to understand or assume any perspective other than their own. And so those obviously bring about a lot of trouble. Neither narcissism or egocentrism obviously are Christian. Now here is the Christian mode, if you will, that the Lord wants for us, is empathy, which is the capacity to understand or feel what another person is experiencing from within their frame of reference. For example, the capacity to place one's self in another's position. And of course, the old adage is, you know, you never really understand somebody until you walk a mile in their shoes or walk a mile in their moccasins or whatever else. And that's many times very true, and I can certainly relate to that as I have grown in empathy for people who suffer and people who go through a variety of things. Well, James Madison said in 1788, in framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. And obviously we have seen that the government is not controlling itself. It's for we the people to stand up and do what we're supposed to do. Here's a quote from William F. Buckley Jr. So true. Liberals claim to want to give a hearing to other views, but then are shocked and offended to discover that there are other views. True, true, true. Well, some of the things that are kind of shocking in the news, you might say. For example, and I don't think it's very funny, violent, vicious, vile, and venomous hatred on the left. Kathy Griffin, who's a comedian, supposedly held up a severed head of President Trump and, you know, thought that was funny. I don't think it's funny. When Barbara Bush died this week, a Muslim university professor at Fresno State University, Rhonda Girar, tweeted, "I'm happy the witch is dead, and I can't wait for the rest of her family to fall into their demise." She boasted that she could not be fired because she has tenure and makes $100,000 per year. She is typical of progressive haters who can't defend their loony leftist positions, so they attack innocent people to give themselves 15 minutes of fame. Now, I will have to say that Barbara Bush held a couple of views concerning abortion and homosexuality that I don't agree with her in. But the woman was married for 76 years, very devoted to her husband and her family, had 6 children, one of whom died of leukemia very young, her daughter Robin. But everyone that met Barbara Bush and said she was the real deal, she had great Christian faith. She made a statement that was pretty funny. She chose not to, of course, have any more treatment. And she said, you know, "I hope when I get to heaven that God recognizes me because I've got so many artificial parts in me already." So she made the choice of having no more medical treatment, and she passed away. Norman Rockwell was the epitome of wholesomeness and painted America the way, yet he was hated for picturing America in a wholesome light. Blake Gopnik, who was art critic for the Washington Post, is now a contributor to Newsweek and Daily Beast. He was offended by And he even said that he hated Rockwell's art. Well, I can tell you, I'm one person that thought that Norman Rockwell painted some wonderful stuff. I always appreciated the guy at town meeting standing up, and of course, the family sitting down for a turkey dinner for Thanksgiving. There's a whole lot of things that Norman Rockwell painted. But he did like David Wojnarowski's film that featured a crucifix with ants crawling on the body of Christ. His art featured male sex organs, naked brothers kissing, men in chains, and other offensive stuff the Washington Post chief art critic defended. And of course, what I'm saying here is that the Blake Gopnik, the art critic for the Washington Post, thought all that stuff's okay. So we'd have to say the loony leftist and the fake feminist took to Twitter to express the fact that they were not sad about a two-year-old boy being killed by an alligator at a Disney resort in Florida because he was white. That hatred and lack of control was seen in their reaction to Sarah Palin when she said, "Join us in praying to God that Sarah Palin contracts cancer and dies. I think this woman should be assassinated. I hope that Sarah Palin dies a slow and painful death." Still another opined, "I hope she dies gnashing her teeth." Someone else suggested, "Somebody bloody shoot her." So these are all the things that, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but these are some of the things that the leftists certainly believe. And of course, the question we'd have to say is the fact that maybe leftists are mentally ill. Only a fool still wonders why we have such violent, vicious, vile, and venomous society. It was planned and executed by the loonies on the left, and maybe leftists are really mentally ill. And I'd have to say their behavior certainly shows that. The other thing that's been kind of wafting around, you might say, is that we have some very weird bacteria coming from China, but also in Australia, flesh-eating ulcer epidemic hits parts of Australia, and scientists don't have an answer. And I'm not going to read the whole article, but basically to just say that it's called this flesh-eating bacteria such as necrotizing fasciitis. It's a Borrelia ulcer is not the most aggressive, but the disease can sometimes eat away one limb or a large part of a limb. The ulcer can even affect bones, leading to permanent disfigurement and long-term disability, according to the World Health Organization. Severe cases often require extensive reconstructive surgery and lengthy recovery. Of course, they can be treated with very heavy and powerful antibiotics. The problem is, I guess, many people don't actually know they have it. That's like the Ebola, I remember, that there was said to be a flesh-eating bacteria. So these are all pretty scary things. But of course, once again, on this supposed Earth Day, we recognize that the Lord is taking care of us. We don't have to live in fear, but we should. It's this Borrelia ulcer is defined as a tropical disease, but the region of Victoria has temperate climate. So whether that would be something that would come here, they said majority of cases have been found in Africa, South America, and New Guinea. Scientists also do not know how people contract the disease or where it lives in the environment. What does this prove? Scientists don't have the answer to everything. what the Lord does, and we'll continue to trust Him. And from our technology reports, Bill Gates plans to back a plan to surveil the entire planet from space. Trudeau's Follies, the coming carbon tax showdown in Canada. China is blanketing Tibet with massive rainmaking geoengineering project. Google is pursuing the Pentagon's giant cloud. Contract quietly, fearing an employee revolt. Autonomous killer drones will soon decide who, when and where. Definitive list of when can law enforcement look at your devices. New U.S. Army facial recognition tech works in the dark. Yeah. Okay, now we'll go to an area of scripture I think is very worthwhile for us today to look at, beginning with Romans chapter 14. So if you can turn there, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Father God, we're so thankful that we can look to know you through your book, the Holy Bible that you have written, is a love letter to us. We're thankful for that. To those that are perishing and those that would refuse to believe in you, this word is an offense. But to us who love you and trust you to teach us, Holy Spirit, we are so thankful for the opportunity that we have here today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's read the first 9 verses in Romans 14. Then we're going to go to Romans 15 as well. So I'm going to say, if Mrs. Lear would read the first 4 verses, then Deacon Sullivan can read the next 5 verses in Romans 14, and then Sean and I will do some reading out of Romans 15 when we get there. So,
okay,
go ahead, honey.
Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4 from the English Standard Version. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4 from the English Standard Version.
Good.
Continuing in verses 5 through 9. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. And that was Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 9 from the ESV.
Okay, and Sean, if you would read from Romans chapter 15, the first 6 verses, so 1 to 6.
Okay.
I'll read after that.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of each week, of the week, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but it, as it is written, reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was version Romans chapter 15, verses 1
to 3. Good. Okay, I'm reading from Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 7, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the powers of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And I've just read from Romans chapter 15. And I've read from verses 8 through 13. Well, there's a number of things to particularly look at in light of what we're going through in our country and in the world today. And always being able to put on, if you will, the glasses. Not rose-colored glasses where you don't see the truth, but the glasses of Scripture. And of course, as we looked at Romans chapter 14, the first verse there, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. And this, of course, it doesn't mean that we don't have dialogue concerning Scripture. But everybody has an opinion like the nose on their face, and some people have more opinions than just one. So we're not supposed to, and it says in the King James, enter into doubtful disputations, because of course what happens there when you start battling people over opinions, a lot of hostility comes from that, a lot of hurt and hardship. And of course, I won't go through the issues about, you know, that one who eats vegetables or one who doesn't, or the day that each esteem better than another and all those kind of things. We have discussed those things in the past. Or abstains in the honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. I mean, so the basic indication there is whatever that we're going to do, We're going to do it as unto the Lord. We're not going to do it for our own benefit. We're not going to do it because we're, as the definitions were, a narcissist or egomaniacal, egotistical. We're going to do it because of empathy for others. And of course, one of my very favorite verses, which is prophetic. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Now, some people would look at that and they'd say, well, you know, is the Lord an egomaniac? Because he wants every knee to bow to him, and every tongue shall confess to God. Well, of course not. I mean, we can't accuse the Lord of any unrighteousness because the charge wouldn't stick. And of course, why does he want us to bow our knee to him and our tongue to confess him? Because that's expressing from our hearts and in our behavior that we do believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Now, there are some people out there that are very offended by that because they don't believe Scripture, or they believe that God is not a good God. But I can tell you, the enemy of our souls is going to do worse, is going to make worse things happen than confessing with our mouths and bending our knee and all that kind of stuff. Much worse. And why is that? Because, of course, he's a traitor, because he's a counterfeiter, the enemy of our souls, Satan, or otherwise known as Lucifer. Cannot be trusted in any way, shape, or form. Whatever he promises, he'll never keep. And of course, that's the opposite of the truth of Jesus. Not to say that Satan and Jesus are in any way equal, as some different religions believe. Jesus is every bit of righteousness who, not for himself, but for us, was willing to give up his life. Now, as we go to towards the end of that chapter, in verse 13, actually, where it says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. But I hope that we can also remember this verse, that we're not going to pass judgment on one another, and that's good. Because in passing judgment on one another, we usually get in trouble in that. Because we can't read minds, we don't know the heart, somebody's motivation, we can see their actions, we can inspect their fruit. But not to judge them. And certainly decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. And this is very important, because a lot of people, you know, get their jollies from putting something that someone trips over. You know, like it used to be a real good, you know, a joke. Somebody's walking by and you stick your foot out and they trip over your foot and fall down. And people laugh over that. Well, it's not a laughing matter. You could actually, somebody could stumble over your foot that you put out there on purpose as a virtual stumbling block. And they could fall and be hurt. That isn't funny. The thing is, if we see something in the way, like even if our foot is in the way or whatever, move it out of the way so it's not a stumbling block. Well, it's the same thing, even for an emotional or whatever means, that we don't put a stumbling block in front of a brother. If we see somebody struggling with something, then we help them to stay away from the struggle, not because we're doing the work of the Holy Spirit, but we're doing what Scripture has asked us to do, what the Lord's asked us to do. In the first part of Romans 15, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. And so, if somebody describes themselves, gee, I'm a very strong Christian. You are? Well, do you realize what your obligation is? We who are strong have an obligation. Now, that probably bothers a lot of people. I don't want to be obliged to anything. I don't want to have an obligation. I don't want to have a commitment. We live in a time in a society where most people do not want to commit themselves to anything, including to the things that they've said themselves or done. They're not committed to it. But we're obliged. We have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, why would the Lord ask us to bear with the failings of the weak? Not because he wants us to imitate the failings of the weak. It's just that, you know, if you see somebody stumbling, you see somebody that's not strong enough to do what they're doing, then we come alongside and help them. You know, I suppose it's like somebody's on the sidewalk trying to pick something up and it's too heavy for them and everyone just passes them by. Instead of stopping and saying, here, let me give you a hand. And of course, as many people have said, many hands make the work light instead of making it a burden on people. And then as we go down to the fourth verse, for whatever is written in former days was written for our instruction. Okay. That we might have hope. The encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, I don't know about all of you and all those that are listening to this broadcast, but I find the scriptures very encouraging. And what are they encouraging? The scriptures encourage us to do the right thing for the right reason, and the right thing is doing the things that the Lord has asked us to do. And the right reason for doing them the way he's asked is because we love him. I mean, just like in a husband and wife relationship, or for that matter, even just in a platonic friendship, generally speaking, if you really care about your friend or you care about your spouse, you want to please them. Well, how much more is that an expression for us with the Lord? We love you, Lord. Yes, we want to follow your commands and want to do what you've asked us to do. And of course, as you read that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. And somebody who does not have any hope can be very dismal. And there are many people in our society right now that don't have much hope of anything getting better. And in a lot of cases, it just seems that they're not going to be. And of course, I myself have to go to the Lord and somewhat struggle with having the hope that I will be restored to full strength sometime soon. You know, and so it's an encouragement when people encourage me. And I've been encouraged, obviously, by my wife in particular, and even my therapists are very encouraging, and certain friends have been very encouraging, because if we think we can live without any encouragement at all from anybody, that's pretty foolish, really. And then as we look at encouragement grants you to live in such harmony with one another. Wow, that seems like an ideal situation that probably is not going to happen today or tomorrow necessarily. But the desire, I mean, what is the desire of the heart? I want to live in harmony with my neighbors. I want to live in harmony with my wife. I want to live in harmony with my neighbors and with my friends and whatever else. I mean, the idea of a harmony as opposed to a cacophony, you know, harmonizing like in music instead of terrorizing your cacophony where you can't listen to it, just like in a symphony orchestra. I mean, they have a harmony in their music, and you can tell if one person is not on board, so to speak, you can hear it. You can hear that that doesn't fit with the harmony of the rest of the people in the symphony. So the Lord wants us to live a life of a harmony and symphony, even within a fallen world that is filled with cacophony. And cacophony, of course, is the opposite of harmony, or harmonizing. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And so we ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, and I hope the answer that you have is because I love the Lord with all my heart, my mind, and my strength. And because what I'm doing is for the glory of God. Now that sounds pretty high-minded, doesn't it? But it's not an egotistical statement. It's a very empathetic statement. I do what I do for the glory of God, not for my own glory. I mean, how many people, if you were to check them out on the street, so to speak, you'd ask them the question, why do you do what you do? Well, I do it to get ahead in the world. I do it to make money. I do it to, you know, to make sure that people respect me. You know, and to a certain degree, those things aren't necessarily totally bad, except how many people that you would interview, including Christian brethren, say, what I do for the glory of God. And yes, I believe that this country of America was started to show the glory of God. When you think about it, we're coming very close to the 400th anniversary in 2020, actually, of the Mayflower landing in Plymouth and whatever. And what did they come here for? They didn't come here for themselves. I mean, you read what they wrote. It was Elder Brewster or Pastor Robinson or any of them. They didn't come here for their own glory.
Came here for religious reasons.
Yeah. And they also came for the glory of God. And they said so numerous times. And so, do we want to see that? We talk about revival. And I believe there is revival going on in different places that we don't get to hear about. But that we do what we do for the glory of God and because we love Him. And we thank You, Lord, today for teaching us from Your Word. And we like the benediction You've given us at the end of the chapter, pretty much. In Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That's what I want, Lord. And I thank You for helping me to achieve that. Thank You, Lord, for helping me recognize those needs that I have. I thank You so much, Lord. I love You. It's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. And truly, we'll have no other King but King Jesus. Thank You, Lord.